My favorite movie of that ilk is Independence Day, as we, of course, celebrate July 4th tomorrow. To me, it didn't get any better than Will Smith, Jeff Goldblum, and Bill Pullman. And pound for pound, I think the best big summer blockbuster of that era. I think it's better than Jurassic Park. I think it's better than Armageddon. Also, that summer, you had great movies like Twister and The Rock came out. But to me, this one takes the cake. And that's one of the few things I really still get stoked up about 4th of July, because, you know, usually we're working around here. We have different schedules and whatnot. And, you know, some people like fireworks, some people like barbecues. But the fact you're going to be able to turn your TV on, I don't know which cable channel it's going to be on. It's going to be on the next few days. You're going to see some Independence Day. And no matter what scene it's in, I've seen it so many times, I can just stop down and watch that. And I'm super pumped that later today, we don't have a show tomorrow. Hopefully it's on at some point. I'll probably try to watch the whole thing. But I came across, you know, doing a little research about that movie. There's a lot of things about that movie you probably don't know, and we'll get to some audio here in just a second, but many of the scenes were shot at Wendover Airfield. That was the ex-home of the Enola Gay, which if...
What?
The Enola Gay was the...
Gay.
That's where the B-29 bomber Enola Gay was housed. That, of course, is the one that dropped the atomic bomb in Japan. So they used that facility to shoot a lot of the scenes. In fact, we'll play the Bill Pullman speech here in a second. One of the best speeches in movie history, by the way. Still gets me fired up when I hear it. But yeah, that's where they filmed that. The film lost its military support because it made a lot of Area 51 references. There was, I guess they were going to donate a lot of uniforms and try to make it look as real as possible until, I guess the director of this movie, Roland Emmerich, and also the writer, Dean Devlin, they demanded that they talk about Area 51, so the government and the military said, nope, we're not on board, so you're going to have to come up with your own stuff. Thought that was pretty interesting.
It was definitely a huge, huge thing to get to see Area 51 in this movie, because the Area 51 arcade game was really, really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also, probably not when it came out, but at least a couple years after that, I was heavily into what I'll just leave as my Jim Mars phase. Which is going to be surprising to anybody who knows that I'm not a fan of us spending money on space research. But Jim Mars was a local writer who actually recently passed away, and he wrote a book on the JFK assassination and a lot of the conspiracy theories surrounding it. I wasn't as interested in that as I was. He wrote about aliens a lot, and he would guest on Art Bell's show a lot, and he would talk about
the late great
Area 51 all the time. I actually went out there. My dad and my brother... We used to drive through Roswell, and we stopped at the place. The entire town, if you've never been through Roswell, is Area 51 themed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit much, frankly.
Yeah, that's their entire
but
economy.
The basically. Idea, when they first walked into that like chamber and the thing is in there, I definitely still get chills the first time I saw that.
Not to say
or when I see it again, thinking of the first time I saw it.
Not to say there's not some plot holes throughout the movie. I mean,
no, I think it's pretty spotless.
You talk about Area 51 and there's just two guards with guns outside of a door.
Well, nobody knows it's there.
Yeah, but
you can't have it too heavily guarded because then it would give it away.
Even if somebody just happened to roll up on Area 51, I would imagine it's a little more heavily guarded than just a couple of dudes. Like that doesn't seem too realistic to me. I remember you saw the aliens, which I think the aliens were really cool to see. Will Smith punched one right in the face and said, "Welcome to Earth."
Right.
Which is a really cool moment. They had that big autopsy scene, and they just simply used a whole bunch of KY jelly on top of that thing just to make it look as gross and slimy as it was.
Whoa.
Yeah. You talk about holes in the plot, and the one thing that really just bugs me is the fact that they were able to take down the ships by coming up with a human computer virus.
Right.
So they had this sophisticated level of, you know, circuitry and technology to be able to fly here and invade us and blow up our White House, yet...
But they didn't have McAfee?
Yet they couldn't just, like, you know, come up with something that could keep them safe from a human virus.
They didn't have... Like basic, you just looked at adult movie and you don't need your computer protection.
Ad blocker.
Right.
I thought that was really odd.
Pretty straightforward.
Like, okay, so Jeff Goldblum's just going to come up with this. And basically the rationale, in fact, there was a later interview with Roland Emmerich and he talked about how, well, basically, you know, still binary code and basically just reversing all the zeros and ones is what did it. And I'm thinking to myself, if you can fly across the galaxy, you probably have safeguards against something like that. But
it wouldn't
anyway.
You couldn't have gotten it done without Russell Case, though, and his willingness to fly right into the middle of the basically their version of their home ship with screaming, "Hello, boys, I'm back."
Yeah, "Hello, boys, I'm back."
And just still an absolute classic, classic line.
And to see just how wheels off Randy Quaid is now, and just if anybody follows him on Twitter, which I don't know if you should or not, but he's out there. Let's just say that. But I thought it was interesting. I didn't know this. Jeff Goldblum, I guess the relationship he had with his dad, Judd Hirsch, Julius Levinson was the character's name, but it was Judd Hirsch. All those interactions they had were basically ad-libbed. They had a script, but he just kind of went off the cuff and improvised a lot of his own dialogue there. And I think, you know, those two really popped in that film. And I just thought, wow, none of that was really scripted. So, also on the Jeff Goldblum front, I found this to be interesting. I didn't realize it until I saw it in this article, but in Jurassic Park, he, of course, the star of that movie, there was one line that he issued in both, and I think Kratre has the audio right here.
Must go faster.
They're closing up on us. Is that closing?
Shut up!
Must go faster. Must go faster. Must go faster. Go, 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 go!
And much like his dialogue with Judd Hirsch, that was also ad-lib. That wasn't written in, but he was sort of paying a nod to a movie he was in 3 years prior in Jurassic Park.
Goldblum is a legend.
And man, he is really popping right now. Like, he's really resurrected his career. I feel like he's everywhere at the moment.
He was in one of those superhero movies recently.
Thor Ragnarok.
There you go.
Was that pretty good, Jerry? I've heard great things about that.
It's fun. It's a good fun movie.
It is fun.
I have a potential segment idea that I would like to do one day called I'm going to review movies that I only watched three rows over and on a plane, but it's on somebody else's screen. So I have no audio, but it's playing up there, and I'll just give you like a 2 or 3 minute review of what I think it was about.
Please do this.
Based on... I guess it was whenever the last time we went out of the country and I saw all of Thor Ragnarok, and because I won't watch a movie. I'm like, I will force myself to read.
Yeah.
But then I end up just watching the kid in front of me like three seats up and one over. Thor Ragnarok. And I also saw two movies that appeared to be English based, and they were about like a group of kids who might have been like superpower E in some way. They were like
Power X-Men? Rangers?
X-Men?
No. Like it was like the Kingsmen or something.
Yeah, Kingsmen. It's like secret agent stuff.
My review of Thor Ragnarok is it appears that the main character just gets the crap beat out of him for 2.5 hours.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
That's about it.
Okay.
That's the whole review. I mean, every time I looked up, this guy was getting thrown into another planet. And then I look up another time and it's Jeff Goldblum and what appeared to be like he was in an MGMT video with makeup all over his
face. Oh, really?
Very confusing.
Okay, Jared, now, was Matthew Perry, was he on with the Hardline or the Musers? I want to say he was on one of the shows,
Musers.
And he wasn't a very good guest. He Musers. Wasn't very engaged. Well, apparently, of course, this is in the heyday of Friends. He was apparently supposed to be given the part that Harry Connick Jr. played.
That would have been a disaster.
Captain Jimmy Raven Wilder. I think they made the better decision there because I thought Harry Connick was really, even though it was a small role, I thought he was pretty good in that. I didn't pull this audio, but next time you're watching it, as you see the moment where Russell Quaid's character takes his plane and rams it into the giant spaceship and makes it explode, apparently James Brown had a cameo, or his voice did. According to the sound mix, Randy Quaid, as he was sacrificing himself up into the beam, there was a quick moment where you hear James Brown's voice.
Why?
Before the whole thing explodes. I don't know, but apparently Devlin wanted to add it just to pay homage to James Brown.
That's really confusing.
Really confusing. And we mentioned it earlier, but man, the Bill Pullman speech, President Thomas J. Whitmore, it's still gives me chills, and we're going to play it in a second, but I thought it was interesting that they basically just ape the St. Crispin's Day speech from Henry V. I'm not sure if you're a big Shakespeare guy, if you ever saw the Kenneth...
You are, in fact, sure that I'm not.
But Kenneth Branagh's role in that I thought was great. It came out in the early 90s. You might not have seen it. But
I did not.
It's basically the same speech. They just reworded it. And initially they said, okay, we need a placeholder speech just to have, and then we'll rework it later. They wrote this speech in 5 minutes, and it turned out to be one of the greatest in cinematic history in this reporter's opinion. You have that ready for us, Trey? Look at Trey just talking to Julie. Not even ready. Just distracted by women.
Good morning.
Hold on, pause it real quick. I love the idea that we're going to let the president take flight. Like, we're going to let the president hop in his own fighter jet.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to go out there and shred some aliens on his own. But before he does, he's got a speech for you. I just don't think they'd let him in a plane, Sean.
And honestly, I think it sounds really cool because he's got like a CB mic.
He's got to talk to the whole airfield.
Yeah.
Okay,
let it roll.
Good morning.
In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July, and you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Are you kidding me? That's so good.
I do appreciate that the theme of a lot of these movies, because it's been pointed out to me that it's strange that I enjoy movies like Armageddon and Independence Day so much because they do have a space element.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved Arrival. Arrival is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, it's good.
And I dig that it, to varying degrees, they take advantage of the, you know, our best weapon here is just our ability to act as one.
Yeah.
And be humankind.
Look, right now.
Which is definitely not how it would go, right? I mean, we would all just annihilate each other like they do at the beginning of Arrival, but it's a cool twist on it.
Were you into District 9? Jake?
No, I wasn't. I think that was a little after my time where I went into a movie dark period, I think.
We're in an era of division right now in the country and the
world.
Oh,
stop it.
I feel like we could maybe use an alien invasion to try to rally us all together.
Could you imagine
Trump, like, that's the key.
Doing that speech?
Okay.
We're going to live on.
Do I got to press this button?
We're going to survive.
I don't think I can get on board. Yeah, I don't think I can get on board with your asking for an alien invasion, but I do think that there's
drastic
only,
times.
There's only two things that would still really shock me, and that is the apocalypse and an invasion.
Yeah,
nothing else really. I mean, you can see just about anything else on Live Leak, so it's not that shocking. But those two things would both. And I'll tell you the last thing about this movie is it really made me want to smoke cigars.
Oh yeah, their victory dance.
Yeah. I remember thinking, well, I guess that's just what you do.
And they come walking across the desert, smoking their cigars.
It's pretty
like,
badass.
Like a couple of badasses.
Yeah.
Sorry. Classic movie. I will watch that this week for sure.